and welcome to Echoes from the Shore, Lessons from Diverse Marine Values, a new podcast from the Diverse Marine Values Project, funded by the Sustainable Management of Marine Resources Programme. For 3 years, the Diverse Marine Values team has been exploring the many ways people value the sea and how these values can be integrated more fully in marine management in the UK. This podcast will give you hints and tips about how to use a diverse suite of methods to understand the relationship between people in the ocean, coast and sea. You'll be hearing about some of the insights, challenges and findings that the team has uncovered, with lessons for you to use these methods in your own research and practice. We hope this podcast series can help to develop capacity across the UK's marine research community and foster new pathways for inclusion of diverse values within marine policy. I'm Dr. Emma McKinley, a senior research fellow at Cardiff University.
And I'm Dr. Victoria Leslie, a research fellow at the University of Portsmouth. And in each episode, we'll be initiating a conversation with researchers from the Diverse Marine Values team to understand more about working on this unique project. For this episode, we are joined by Professor Steve Fletcher and Professor Tim Acott. Hi, Steve and Tim. Welcome to Echoes from the Shore podcast.
Hey, hi, Victoria.
Hello. Hi there.
Steve, would you mind introducing yourself and telling us a bit about your role on the project?
Yeah, so my name is Steve Fletcher. I'm a professor in ocean policy and economy at the University of Portsmouth. My role in the project is that I'm the co-principal investigator, which means I'm overseeing the management and delivery of the entire project and helping ensure that the project that we deliver is broadly in line with what we proposed in the first place. I also lead Work Package 5, which is one of the work packages that helps convert the findings of the study into policy-relevant action for marine management organisations in the UK.
Great. And Tim, would you mind doing the same?
Yep. So I'm a professor in human geography at the University of Greenwich, and I am the co-leader on the project along with Steve. In addition to doing that, I'm also the leader for the first work package, which is about conceptualising diverse marine values. And I'm also working as part of our second work package on a photo essay. And so effectively, I'm working on one of the creative approaches that we used in the project.
Thanks both. So this episode will be our first episode in the podcast series. And so it makes sense for you to tell us a little bit about what the Diverse Marine Values Project is all about so that our listeners know what we're talking about. So if you could introduce the project, why it's important now, and maybe what's unique about it.
Yeah, so I'll start, and I'm sure Tim will feed in too. But the basic premise of the project really is that the way marine management has been done in the UK for a long time is focus on a limited range of evidence types, largely ecological, sort of natural science, and economic evidence. Whereas there's so much more evidence that could be brought to bear on the decisions around how we manage marine resources and coastal resources in the UK. So what the Diverse Marine Values Project is doing is trying to use different types of data collection to access more diverse values from lesser heard parts of the coastal community. So we're using social sciences and in particular arts-based methods to really interact with coastal communities and help them to identify the values they hold around coastal resources and capture those values in such a way that we can begin to bring them into mainstream marine management. And we're doing that by looking at three different test sites in three very different parts of the country, and three different sets of characteristics in Portsmouth, the Shetland Islands, and in Chepstow. Portsmouth being a dense urban settlement on the coast, Shetland Islands being sort of remote set of islands, and Chepstow being a relatively small town in a inland yet river-based catchment location. And by looking at those three different locations, we are testing out the same, or rather, we're testing out the same methods in three different locations to see how those methods play out in different types of communities and elicit and help identify different types of values. And the final part of the project is then to work with marine management organisations to to help them figure out how they can begin to use a more diverse set of values in their own working methods. And that's really interesting because, of course, some of the organisations are not empowered to use a more diverse set of values, and they're quite restricted in what they can do. So working with them really begins to illustrate some of the challenges of bringing in a more diverse evidence base into marine management. I'm sure Tim's got other things to add to that description.
Yeah, no, I think that's a great overall introduction to the project. Brilliant. I suppose just in terms of what is unique about the project, I think probably the focus on the arts-based approaches is what has defined our project. And that's been really, really interesting working on that over the course of the last three years, because I think particularly at the beginning, we were working in an era, I think, where there was a little bit of scepticism, perhaps, on the importance of arts-based research and upon the range of different benefits that could bring. I mean, in marine management, I think, you know, it's dominated by science-based approaches, natural science, and to some extent now social sciences. There's a lot of increasing interest in social sciences, certainly economics. But I think there's a bit of a cliff edge, although there's some really interesting work being done in sort of mainstream marine management, there is a bit of a cliff edge when it comes to arts-based approaches. And so I think what our project has done is push the boundary of that. And certainly I think that even now, even just within our project and the broader SMMR program, we can actually see how over the last 3 or 4 years, people have really kind of warmed to the idea and have started to understand more about what these different arts-based approaches can bring. So I think, although that's not all that we did, I think the interface between the arts-based approaches, the ocean literacy, the decision-making, the evidence that Steve was talking about, and then finally, in our final work package, taking that into the broader workings of the stakeholders like DEFRA, like Marine Management Organization, etc., that's going to be one of the kind of critical key outputs of our project, I think.
Thank you. You mentioned that the arts-based methods are part of what makes the project unique. Why is that? What is it that arts-based research and arts-based methodologies offer that are has perhaps been missing within the marine and coastal research context?
I think that's a really good question, and I'd like to spend 3 hours just talking about that one question, but we can't. We've got to give some nice, concise responses. So in the spirit of thinking about things concisely, I think that you can treat arts-based approaches in different ways, and they can bring multiple things to your perspective of marine management. I think that one of the things they can do is they can bring they can open up issues and problems and issues. In other words, they can provide a forum around which issues can be explored through multiple stakeholders. They can be used in terms of engaging people. They can be used for community engagement purposes. They can be used to try and create platforms for allowing reflections on problems and trying to see problems and issues from different perspectives, from different ways. I mean, that's just a few of them. I can talk about that in a little bit more detail, perhaps later. So I think that there's a real sort of range of different ways that arts-based, and I'd like to say arts-based approaches rather than arts-based methods, because I think we're all often falling into the trap of using the language, particularly in marine management, where it's a science, it's often a science-based world. And so we use words like methods and data, where actually, if you go into the arts-based world, perhaps thinking about things like approaches and processes are really important. So I think that there's a whole range of different benefits that can be brought. An opening up of perspectives, I think, and sort of allowing people a bit of freedom to think about issues from new ways and to try and see challenges from a new perspective, I think, some of those.
You mentioned the SMMR programme. I was wondering if you could reflect on how the marine researcher and practitioner community has been accepting of more arts-based approaches, or how have they responded to some of the approaches that we've been using on our project?
Well, I think that's. I think that's a really interesting question. I suppose to some extent I'll have to answer that sort of a bit anecdotally because I haven't done a survey to actually sort of interrogate that. But I think that part of what it's done, it's allowed a certain form of playfulness, and it's allowed us to engage issues and people and problems, really from a perspective whereby everyone feels like they have a voice about an issue. It's not sort of siloing people into their ecological work or their economics work. And I think part of what the art space does in terms of sort of those practitioners is allow a sort of playfulness to explore the issues from different perspectives and allow the voice, allow diverse voices to emerge into that debate. And I think that is something that is perhaps really, I don't know, under people don't give enough importance to that. Just that perspective of allowing the different ranges of expertise to really have a say in a particular issue, and actually understanding that everyone from diverse different approaches, diverse different disciplines, can each bring a different series of expertise to an issue. So I think opening up that debate, I think, is a really important aspect of it. And I think anecdotally, certainly in the SMMR program, we've just run an exhibition, an end of year exhibition at the last annual conference, and the number of responses that we got, really positive, that talked about having this exhibition as a space for reflection, as a space to be able to think about what marine and coastal means to people, as a space to get away from the normal hubbub of a conference. So I think that a really important aspect of arts-based research is allowing space for the unpredictable to emerge. You're not quite sure about how things are going to be before you go into it, but you've got the confidence to let things emerge from the processes that you're working through.
I think one thing I would just add to what Tim said, and I agree entirely with what he just said, within the sort of academic community and the practitioner community around marine management, I guess, as Tim said, there's quite a lot of scepticism about the use of arts-based methods. But one thing we've done as a project is kind of got those communities to try out some of the methods at the various events that we've been to, and particularly the SMR conference, where we've got people who are just attending the conference to join in with theatre performances and to do some arts-based exercises and be exposed to the methods. And what that serves to do is kind of demystify what arts-based methods are. And I think we found this across the entire project and you know, other projects we're involved in that use arts-based methods as well, which is until you actually try them out yourself, they're somehow kind of otherly and difficult to really understand. But once you do them yourself, you realise they're not actually that scary, but they do access a level of evidence and connection to your sort of internal view of the world that is really rich and really exciting, and as researchers, really important to get at to enable a rounder understanding of what people's values are around marine resources and how to manage those resources.
Thank you very much for that. That's really great insight into how, I guess, the community is, kind of the wider SMMR community has really embraced the arts-based research and the diverse methods that we've been using in the project and diverse approaches that we've been using in the project over the last few years. You've told us a little bit about what makes the project unique. You've told us a little bit about the three communities and test sites that we've been working in. What are diverse marine values? What have we meant by that concept, that idea? And why do they matter for marine management? Steve, you gave us a little bit of that when you were introducing the project. But what are diverse marine values and why are they important?
Diverse marine values are a core idea within our project. And I think one of the things that we have tackled within the project and then we've tried to address is the depth of philosophical reflection you have to go into in order to answer that question. I'm not trying to be kind of over complex here, but I think you can answer that. You can answer it very simply. What are diverse values? You can say that, well, a value is the importance of something. So on the one hand, you can answer it very clearly, very, very very succinctly. You can then suggest that a value is a measure. So you get into the whole area of, okay, well, how do we measure values? Can all values be measured? We can then kind of expand that to think, well, okay, but maybe values are also a principle. They're things that we hold, you know, they're values that we hold, and they're our fundamental principles. So diverse values can be all these different things. And I think that the challenge that we've faced as a project is how to articulate that in a way that is meaningful in the context of marine management and in the context of taking that idea of value into a broader stakeholder participatory community. So in order to do that, then we've lent quite heavily on the IPBES framework of values, which is a big international document about how to kind of conceptualize diverse values, about how to sort of think about that. And so probably what we've done as a project is we've kind of said, okay, we've got the kind of IBES thinking, which gives us an international reference point for thinking about diverse values. And then we've thought more specifically about our own case study areas and our own arts-based methods about how that kind of intersects with that. And I think that actually this is where we have, as a project, do have something kind of unique to say, because I think in that broader conceptualization of values, I think the way that you can use arts-based approaches to start to get at, I think Steve sort of started to talk about this, the way you can use arts-based approaches to get at different types of values and different sorts of values, then I think that's a valuable aspect to our work. And that's something that we've pursued. So I think that, you know, in answer to your question, what are diverse values? Simply put, there's something that's important, more complicated than, you know, you can range a whole realm of different sort of philosophical reflections that range from economic values to sociocultural values to biodiversity values to aesthetic values, religious values. But it's finding that balance to make that kind of explanation relevant to different stakeholders in different contexts.
I was wondering, Steve, if you could elaborate a little bit on that as well, in thinking about how the project has some of the challenges it's faced, I suppose, and how it's attempted to unite some of the conceptual thinking around values, which often is kind of intangible. How's that been united and translated into a practical application relevant for marine researcher and policy practitioners?
Well, I think what we've been trying to do in the project is really pull those two different aspects together, the theoretical and conceptual that Tim spoke about, with the day-to-day and strategic management of coastal and marine resources. And, you know, the way the coast and their resources are managed and its resources are managed is, you know, a real challenge. And, you know, biodiversity loss, pollution, the challenges facing coastal communities are real. And I guess, and Tim sort of alluded to this, that the challenge historically has been that we've only used a narrow range of values to try and solve those problems. And so, in a sense, the project being called Diverse Marine Values is a statement that we were seeking to broaden out that range. So what we've been doing as a project is, for our case study sites, collecting a range of different types of data. There's the or evidence, and the evidence that comes from the arts-based approaches, evidence that comes from kind of conventional natural capital assessments. We've been also collecting a load of data around ocean literacy levels of those communities. And so we're getting multiple perspectives around how a community understands and values the resources in its location, in its area. And so in a sense, it's understanding the conceptualization of that is a kind of underpinning bedrock of how we think of the resources, how we think of the values the communities hold. And then using the data, you know, using the practical methods and approaches to draw out those data and to build up an evidence base that tells us from multiple perspectives how a community understands and feels about the resource base that it has access to. And so by having a sort of a broader or more diverse range of evidence, the way I often talk about it, it allows a more rounded understanding of the way a community understands its resource base. And that gives a much stronger basis for making decisions. Now, part of the challenge then of making decisions is that the current marine management framework isn't set up to use that broader range of values. And so when we then think about a step change in how the marine management of the UK waters and resources takes place, then we do need to also look at the policy frameworks that exist already and the institutions that exist and the way those institutions see evidence and use evidence. Because at the moment, there is something of a mismatch between the evidence that projects like ours are generating and the sort of evidence that the management or bodies can use. But that's kind of part of the joy and the value of the project, really, is to draw out this evidence and see where the challenges are for the current marine management framework. And I think we've got some pretty clear implications from the work we've done as to perhaps what needs to change in the way we manage the marine environment in the UK to help reflect a broader set of values.
Sorry, can I just add into that? I mean, I agree with that completely. And I think the whole issue of the taking the evidence and our approaches into marine management is critical. But I think in terms of part of your question was about the about how to sort of practically kind of conceptualize this and take a kind of conceptual understanding from diverse values into the methods. What we have done is we applied a range of different approaches throughout our project. So for instance, we had community voice method, we had digital storytelling, we had theatre productions, and we had photography essays as well. And across all those methods then, we're able to start to reflect on different ways that arts-based research can link into that broader values agenda. So, for instance, we can start to pull out the idea of arts as communication. That's a very obvious one that's been used a lot by people, that arts can help facilitate communication of science-based knowledge. That's one kind of clear way. But then we've also got socially engaged art practice, for instance, the theatre, where it's the process that people get engaged with, not just the evidence that is being produced. And it's actually the art approach allowing us to develop a process whereby people get engaged in the making of that, and that becomes kind of critical to that link between the values and the kind of conceptualization of it. So we had the communication, we had the socially engaged art. We didn't really do this so much in our project, but activism, art-based activism, is another important aspect of this. And although we didn't do it, we came across a great example in our project, which was the Goddess of the Y. And the way that was, the Goddess of the Y reappeared through the animatronics of a puppet maker and in order to promote the all the problems with the Y and all the sort of sewage and effluents and the pollution of the Y, etc. So that was really interesting. And I think there are just two final dimensions there as well, which are important. And that is about how arts-based approaches can help us engage with empathy as well. So it's not just about sort of working in a kind of scientific objective world, but arts-based can directly address issues of empathy and care. And then the final one, I think, in that conceptualization is to think about the way that art space can actually generate knowledge, of perhaps experiential knowledge or sensory knowledge or different forms of knowledge. And I think this starts to give us a firm foundation that Steve was talking about these diverse values and why they're important in terms of marine management. So we've got these kind of five areas that we're starting to sort of build in the project, and we hope that we can better use those to sort of help us directly address sort of stakeholders and the needs of other sort of stakeholders.
And Tim, the way you were talking about that, it really illustrates, isn't it, I think, the difference in the type of evidence and the type of outcomes, I suppose, and processes that arts-based approaches generate, because they're so different from sort of natural science and economics and all the sort of stuff that's normally used. And so it's hard to understand initially, isn't it, how to use that sort of evidence in a marine management context.
I think that's absolutely right. But I think that just one element that's related to that is, I think in projects like this, it's often a feeling, well, what we're doing is we're producing a tool that we give to someone else and then they use that tool. I think anyone who's been involved in these types of projects is very, very familiar with that. But at least part of what we're saying is what is the recognition of IPBES and others is actually institutions work within their own value frameworks as well. So on the one hand, we can try and align arts-based research with the ways that institutions work, but a part of it might also be to get institutions to look critically at themselves on how they work, and are there any changes that need to be made there to allow these diverse values to be made more visible within the processes that they work.
Thank you both for those really great insights into the project and how it's been creating those different ways of thinking about relationships and those different types of values that could be integrated into decision making. What do you think the main lessons from the Diverse Marine Values project have been as we look towards year four of the project? What are the lessons that are coming out that you think people should know about?
Yeah, shall I start and Tim, you add? So I think I've got three or four lessons really just to share initially. I think the first one is just try other methods, just go for it. I mean, the vast majority of people in our research team hadn't tried any of the arts-based approaches before the project started. And we all had to learn and we all had to just try them and embrace them and explore them and what they meant for us personally, but also as a professional practice in the research domain. And that, I think all of us have learned so much just by, you know, being brave enough to dive in and try them. And related to that is my second lesson, which is to trust and respect disciplinary expertise. I think what we hear too much of is people saying, "Oh, you know, social science all bias. You know, it's not, doesn't produce reproducible evidence, and all this sort of stuff." And it's kind of based on a misunderstanding of what the discipline is. So I think what we've learned from this project is you have to respect the disciplinary expertise, and that's not to say not to be afraid to offer, you know, positive challenge on how that evidence is generated and how those disciplinary norms were constructed. But it's just to accept that, you know, there are other ways of doing things, and it's perfectly okay to allow others to step into the space to lead and to really exercise their disciplinary expertise. I think the third thing I would say is to allow time and space to discuss different approaches. Again, these are all kind of strangely related to each other now I'm saying them out loud. But I think so few projects these days have or allow themselves the time and space to really explore how other disciplines work. And so, for example, through this project, you know, I personally have come to understand that arts-based methods, have been around for decades. There's, you know, strong conceptual and theoretical underpinning to the way those arts-based methods work, and there are multiple approaches that are tried and tested in terms of engaging with groups and generating evidence or generating a process it's really strong and rigorous in terms of how that process works. But without the time and space to discuss that and understand that, that I think would have been lost on a lot of us. And the final lesson, at least for the moment, is, I guess, not to be taken in by the stereotypes of disciplines that, you know, exist already. So, you know, at the beginning of this project, and Tim alluded to it earlier, actually, there was a lot of skepticism about some of the work that we were doing. There's even some skepticism, as I've just alluded to myself, around some just pretty conventional social science approaches. But, you know, those stereotypes are just simply not true. And so, you know, we can't let ourselves go along with those stereotypes. And when they when they're communicated to us, either implicitly or explicitly, to challenge them. So one thing we heard a lot in our project was that using arts-based methods and social science is just really expensive, and therefore it's implausible to use for many marine management organisations. But you know, in comparison to collecting a whole load of natural science data from a ship or you know, using really expensive equipment, social science is incredibly cheap and an incredibly good value to collect huge amounts of data at relatively low cost. And yet, just about everybody was saying, oh, it's so expensive. And so there's these sort of, maybe knee-jerk isn't quite the right phrase, but it's not the wrong phrase either, in terms of some of the reactions that we get to the methods that we're using, largely based around sort of a lack of understanding of what they are and perhaps a lack of familiarity with them. And so the stereotypes in themselves become a barrier to using those methods. And you know, I think one of the lessons from the project is just simply don't be fooled or don't be put off by those stereotypes and challenge them where you can.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with those 4 points. And I all I would really do is just add a couple of little points around those, really. And one is that relating, I think, to stereotypes. But I would just say that, you know, we so kind of can often characterise sort of science over there and art over there. But actually, when it comes down to people are scientists and they're artists. In our project team, you know, there were people who around the table, or you know, might have been an ecologist, but they played the guitar or they played the piano or they painted or they or, so I think or they were in amateur dramatics or whatever. So I think that at the level of different people working in these areas, there isn't necessarily a very firm divide between arts and sciences, and that actually people can see different sides of those equations, and in that context, then to get at this kind of moving forward where you're encouraging the different practices to come together, then I think that it's about having the space between the official meetings. It's not just about what goes on when you're all sitting around a table reporting back on work. It's about when you stop for a coffee, when you kind of go and have a meal. And I think it's just so important. And this is particularly in the case, I think, where we have our online working now. When you're on a Zoom meeting, you don't have the ability to be able to chat to people on a kind of one-to-one in a little sort of space. So I think that projects need to build in time, as really just as Steve was saying, to be able to sort of properly allow conversations to emerge, allow practices to emerge. And that has to be at least in part done through the informal time in those meetings. And I think linked to that then is that is a key part of transdisciplinary working. And that really has been what the Diverse Marine Values Project is all about. It's been trying to find ways to promote transdisciplinary forms of working that can allow us to recognise a more diverse suite of values, both in terms of measurement and also in terms of process and engagement. And I think that is a key learning from the project.
Thank you both for reflecting on some of those key lessons from a project. I just wanted to ask you, how do you define transdisciplinarity, and how does it differ from interdisciplinarity or multidisciplinarity?
I think I'll jump in there. Again, there's always simple and complex ways of answering these, but in a simple definition, I think these terms are often used interchangeably. So I think when you hear people using interdisciplinarity or multidisciplinarity or transdisciplinarity, I wouldn't always read too much into that, because sometimes they're using them in the same way, and they're using them in a broad sense to mean different disciplines working together in different ways. Now, there are other ways you can start to refine that, and you can make analogies to cookery and to cakes and to the mixing up of things. And, you know, do you end up with a sponge with you can't recognize all the ingredients, or do you end up? So we can adopt those. But I think what I would say is important in that context is that for me anyway, is that when you start to use the language of transdisciplinary, then you're no longer just talking about integration between academic disciplines. You're making that step from academia outside to a broader set of stakeholders. And I think that once you start doing that, then you're starting to really get into different paradigms of knowledge. So you're getting into folk knowledge, you're getting into community knowledge, you're getting into different ways that we understand how knowledge and understanding. So I think if you're engaging in a transdisciplinary project, then you've got to have some recognition of that sort of stepping across those paradigms outside of academia. And of course, that becomes then really important, is how do you kind of give equal weighting to those different voices when we're so wedded to a kind of a science-dominated narrative, where the science-based evidence is often taken to be taken in a higher way, if you like, than other forms of knowledge. So for me, transdisciplinary is making that step change into other forms of knowledge.
I think that's a really great analogy to kind of draw upon, the kind of mixing together of, but also, as you were saying about how on the project we've been, it's kind of about the collaborative working between lots of different researchers and practitioners across disciplines, across different fields. And kind of to finish, could you both reflect on some of your take homes on working on a transdisciplinary project? I'm going to say that again. Would you mind reflecting upon some of your take homes? I'm going to say that again. Would you mind reflecting on your experience of working on a transdisciplinary project?
Well, I mean, it's a good and challenging question. I think probably what I would say is that, first of all, is the part that Tim said about working in different disciplines. And that is hard. And you have to challenge your own understandings of your own discipline. You then have to understand how other people's disciplines sort of relate to your own, and where the sort of the boundaries are, and how they sort of smudge together in a untidy way a lot of the time. But then also, as Tim said, to kind of have that external sort of non-academic element to it as well, which in our case were often coastal communities and the community representatives and community members of those coastal communities. So making sure that, you know, we weren't just approaching this from an isolated kind of academic perspective. And then also there were the marine management professionals who ultimately the work that we were doing was to help their professional practice. Because ultimately it is about this step change in the way we manage marine resources in the UK. So what's the take home from all of that, I guess? It's important to sort of be professionally open-minded, I suppose, and to accept other perspectives and other disciplinary approaches as valid, and offering something that quite often your own discipline doesn't generate, and trying to build in the advantages from other disciplines into your own understanding of the world to create something new, something bigger and something more meaningful than you could ever generate just by applying your own disciplinary perspective to the world. And that's really hard, I think. That's hard for a lot of people. I think we've had a remarkable collection of people on the project who've been open-minded to seeing alternative perspectives. And I don't just mean the scientist taking the arts-based method, but the other way around as well, because it's just as hard the other way around, if not harder in some ways. So I think part of it is the makeup of the team, part of it is your personal sort of attitude, but also I guess just not being afraid to leap in and take a bit of a chance, really.
Yeah, no, I completely agree, and I completely agree with that. And I think also how by really embracing the idea of transdisciplinarity, it can be transformative. And I think that is something that so many people now, I suppose I've been working on transdisciplinary projects over the last, I don't know, 10, 15 years. And it's, as Steve said, different individuals will embrace this in different ways. But those people who really embrace the ideas of different types of knowledge, different ways of accessing that knowledge, trying to build that into their own practice, then their practices can become transformative, and also their ways of understanding themselves can be transformative. And I would include myself in that, as I've worked with artists, as I've worked with, I mean, I'm a human geographer, but working with artists, working with people in theatre, working with writers, it just transforms my understanding of, in this case, values and how those values operate, and how other people can react to that. I just use the example of our recent exhibition. And I contributed some work to that, but I didn't curate it. But I think the way it was curated was so well done. And all the positive reactions that created amongst the people who visited and saw it, I found that was amazing. I would never have had the courage to do that personally, not in a million years. So I think that really leaning into it, sort of trusting other people, trusting their expertise, and really embracing how they see the world, I think that can be transformative.
Thank you both so much for your time and for your insights into the project and the work that's being done. Those messages of being brave and being collaborative and really embracing opportunities to work together to transform the work we do have come out really, really clearly. So thank you both very much.
Thanks. Thank you.
Thanks for joining us. If you're interested to learn more about the Diverse Marine Values Project, please visit our website, which we'll link in the show notes, and tune in again for the next episode in this podcast series.
The Sustainable Management of UK Marine Resources Programme is funded by the Natural Environment Research Council and the Economic and Social Research Council. The Diverse Marine Values Project is one of six projects funded to explore new ways of forging partnerships and approaches to marine management in the UK. For further details, please visit the SMMR website.